feel in this house. How many times we sit here in the church, we don't like talking about feelings, but I believe when I feel the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. For He is good. He is good. We've had a wonderful time with the Lord this morning, and tonight I believe God's going to be with us tonight. I do have a word for tonight. If you would like to stand, we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. When you're there, just please say amen. You can't hear the fingers moving on the phone, but you can hear the pages. I tell you, there was a preacher that I heard in a camp meeting not too long ago. And he said, I like the Bible. And he said something I never really thought about. He said, it can't change. But what's on your phone can. Even the Bible, how they keep changing things, it can be. So I'm thankful for the Bible. But I also know it's really handy to have it on your phone. Amen? All right, let's read the word. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. And its seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes, and seven lamps, which were upon the top thereof. And the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. With the Lord's help, I'm going to preach tonight. Have you checked your oil? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word of truth. Knowing this word's going to go forward, God, pierce the hearts of each and every believer here tonight, God, that we will go home changed because of the word of truth. Because of the Spirit of the living God is in this house, God, I'm asking, Lord, to move upon each and every one that is hearing my voice right now. That God, that everything that come against this service is bound in the name of Jesus and has no place in this house. God, that every thought would be brought down to what you have to say tonight. God, use me as a willing vessel, God, for I am helpless without you. But God, with your anointing, I pray, God, the word would go forth in the authority that it has. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. In this passage of Scripture, we find Zechariah being awakened by an angel. God had given him a vision of the golden lampstand that was to be in the temple that was to be rebuilt. Also, God shows Zechariah something was never in the temple. Two olive trees that supplied the lamp with oil. We find in verse 4 and 5, Zechariah asking, what are those, my Lord? He was seeing a lamp being supplied with oil directly from two olive trees. But he did not understand what was he seeing in the vision. Now, we do understand that throughout the Bible, we see oil as a picture of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There are types and shadows of all through the Old Testament. We see the prophet Samuel anointing David with oil to be the new king of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. The next thing that we read after the oil was poured out on David is that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward. We know that David learned through all of his ups and downs that he couldn't accomplish anything on his own, but it had to be by the Spirit of the Lord. We know that he had first-hand experience with King Saul having the anointing taken away from him. So David cried out to God, and his life said to God, take anything you want from me, but don't take your Holy Spirit from me. He knew that life had to be filled with the oil of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. I think there's no secret what I'm going to preach about tonight. We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about what God can do that no one else can do. And now they're here in this passage. We see God confirming that to the prophet Zechariah and tells him, it is not by anyone's might or anyone's power, but it is only by my spirit that you will live. So what does my spirit mean? by my spirit, excuse me. Have you ever thought about, not by my might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord? Means you ever thought about that scripture itself? Just ponder it. Just think about it. Just at this very moment, we've said that, we've quoted it, but what does that really truly mean to you? Those olive trees the prophet saw had a continuous flow of oil. If we're not careful, we won't notice that our oil is getting low. Amen? And if your oil is getting low, here's what starts to happen. 1 John 2:16 says, of everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now follow me. I'm going somewhere with it. We find in the Word of God that sexual immorality, impurity, sorcery, jealousy, anger, fighting, division, drunkenness, envy, dissension, selfish ambition, and things like this are sins of the flesh. As we look in the Bible, we find examples such as Naaman. He was told to wash in the river Jordan by the prophet Elisha, but refused because the water was dirty. If he had not changed his mind in obedience, he would have died of leprosy. Right? Such is the pride of life. Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the Holy Spirit to look spiritual instead of seeking God and being filled. Pride, sorcery, and selfish ambition. Amen? Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, valuing others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Has anybody read that in the Bible? It's quiet. Selfish ambitions. Pride will prevent us from serving others. The world teaches us to find worth in what we look like and what we have. But the Spirit will point to God and reveal that what is not of God is not eternal. Amen. Ecclesiastes 1:8. All these things are wearisome. More than one can say that the eye never has enough seeing, nor the ear its feeling of hearing. Isn't that amazing? Those that want to see in the flesh will never have enough, and those that want to gossip and backbite will never hear enough. These battles of the flesh will always be present. The Bible tells us so, but the Word of God has already given us the answer for that battle, and it is the Spirit of the Lord. It is not by power or might, but it's by His Spirit. We must have His oil flowing. In the natural, we know that oil will lubricate when used for that purpose, but the Spirit, there is little friction or wear among those who are lubricated by the Spirit. Now I'm talking about those in the church. There's too many times that we allow ourselves to be offended, even in the church, amen? If you haven't been offended yet, just hang on. In the church, nobody necessarily means to offend or hurt someone, but it will happen. But the oil of the Spirit will help in this situation. You will forgive more quickly, but if we're dry and weary, we haven't spent any time with God, what happens when you are offended? What you have in will come out. These battles of the flesh are always going to be with us. We always think about these things in the natural, but also in the fleshly, we think about in the natural, oil produces a flame when it is burning a lamp. Where the Spirit of God is, there is light. That light can't be hidden under a bush. That light that shines the brightest when it is the darkest. In a world that's dark all around us, the light of the Holy Spirit will shine the brightest. When we were overseas and we were walking through India, the people would shine, they would look at you because God was in you and it was not in them. And they'd say, there's light. They would glare at you because the devil didn't like the light in that place. Do you think it's any different in America today? The light of God shining in our light, our life, makes the difference. The oil of the Holy Spirit keeps the flame burning. Oil warms when it's used as fuel for fire. Where the Spirit of God is, there is warmth and comfort of trying times. God is all-consuming fire that burns away the dross. No matter what kind of difficulty we have, whether it's loss of family members or things that are dealing in our lives. We know that if the Holy Spirit, there is comfort, there's warmth in the Lord God Almighty. Oil invigorates when it's used to massage by the Spirit. He prepares us for His service. As God was leading us here to Trinity, God took that oil and moved upon me several years ago, and Melissa both, not knowing where naturally we were going to end up. But during that time, He had to massage it because I didn't necessarily want to leave what I'd always known. Amen. What you know. When you feel comfortable with what you know, you like to do it. I like to do business, and I was very good at it. I was very successful and known around the country for just what I'd done in just this area of the country. We can take pride in what we do, but what I did not notice, what God was trying to build through me and in me. So what the pastor said when I moved to Texarkana, he said, God, I'm nesting your nest. Don't worry, I'm going to preach that one day, but not tonight. He had to mess in my nest because why would I leave something that was so wonderful to me? Why? Because I chose God's way and not my way. Don't think that I'm puffing myself up because I was being obedient. Because obedience is not always easy. There will be a sacrifice in obedience. But were my time, when I walked through, what I was walking through, God was massaging with this oil of the Holy Spirit because I was seeking Him through the Holy Spirit. He was massaging me through what I needed to go through and getting me ready for the present time. There is a purpose of that. Oil polishes when used to shine metal, but the Spirit, He cleans up those things we cannot fix ourselves. Smoothing out the rough edges. Anybody got rough edges? Hello. I know we do. By having that continual flow of fresh oil, we will not fall for the lust of the eyes, the flesh, or the pride of life. That mountain of flesh, the lust of the eyes, flesh, pride, will become a flat plain, as the verse says. The Spirit will lead you to keep your mouth shut in Acts 16 and 6. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? I'm saying amen a lot because we're talking Scripture here. The Spirit will warn you when the enemy comes to attack. The Spirit is truth, John 16 and 13. You will know and have God's love through the Holy Spirit. We live in a fallen world and fight the enemy on every hand. We know this. Some here tonight may feel, why can I not overcome this? Well, I have to ask you, how much oil is in your lamp? Have you checked your oil? Let me say this. The flesh is powerless to fulfill the law, and the law is powerless to conquer the flesh or sin. It's only by His Spirit that we overcome. Galatians 5, 17 and 18. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. These and many other scriptures make it obvious that walking by the Spirit is not a passive surrender. We're a soldier in God's army.
Amen.
You will always battle. You will always battle the flesh as long as we're on this side of glory. Too many times as Christians, we try to use the law to make ourselves able to do only what the Spirit can. Now follow where I'm going. Too many times we allow ourselves to be bound up and condemned by what the devil wants to use as his own weapon against us. The believer that is not resisting evil is not being led by the Spirit of God. A faithful believer is not an observer, but a good soldier of Christ. That means you've got to fight. Let me say this again. Many of us try to fulfill the law by doing it on our own and getting frustrated because we fail. The flesh is powerless to fulfill the law. The law is powerless to conquer the flesh. I said that twice because it rings so true. So true. We think about it so many times in the Old Testament, what the Pharisees do, and we think, oh, they just wanted to follow the law and look religious and do all these things. But oftentimes, as we fail even today, trying to do it in our own might, in our own power, and not by the Spirit, that's the same as trying to expect the law. See what the Spirit can do. Romans 7, 8 through 11. But sin, seizing opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive, apart from the law, But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment led me to death. Let me explain this with a story. If you're familiar with the book Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes the interpreter's house, which Pilgrim entered during the course of his journey to the celestial city. The pallor of the house is completely covered with dust, and where the man took a broom and started to sweep, he and the others in the room began to choke from the great cloud of dust that was stirred up. The most vigorously he started to sweep, the more suffocating the dust became. Then the interpreter ordered a maid to sprinkle the room with water, with which the dust was quickly washed away. The interpreter explained to the pilgrim that parlor represented the heart, or an unsaved man. The dust was original sin. The man with the broom was the law, and the maid with the water was the gospel. His point was that all the law can do with sin is stir it up. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can wash it away. Amen. That story alone explains the scriptures that I just read. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15 and 56 and 57 says this: the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Too many times I think we lose out and give up because we're trying to fulfill the law we can't. Romans 8 and 14 says, for those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, and it is not by our power or might, but it's by his Spirit. So how do I overcome temptation? That's a question that we often ask ourselves, whether it be young or old Christians. We're still battling the flesh. We want to be honest. That's what the word tells us. We're always going to be battling the flesh on this side of glory. We live in a world saturated with sin. The wicked one uses every possible means for fiery darts, spoken of Ephesians 6 and 16, to burn the Christian's mind. The Apostle John warned against the dangers of the spiritual battle, the world. In 1 John 2 and 16, we've already said, he divided the worldly seductions into three categories. We discussed these: the lust of the flesh, everything that appeals to the carnal and physical appetite; lust of the eyes, those things that are attract us and we covet; pride of life, haughtiness, arrogance, and pride, our achievements, our popularity, academic success, self-sufficiency. We must see that everything in the world is passing. Even our life on this earth is just a vapor. But the truth is, our soul will live forever. What we do in this life will dictate where our eternity is spent. The Bible tells us in Revelation 3 and 21 that to him who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father. How do we overcome temptation? Jesus shows us how. It was by his word. Jesus also said in Luke 22 and 42, not mine, but thy will be done. We're being shown here to humble ourselves and go back to the word. And when we do, it is not our will, but his will being done to keep us from sin. Jesus showed us obedience to the Father all the way to the cross. He told us to be obedient and endure till the end. He showed us the way. Everything about the Bible talks about Jesus from one cover to the other cover. If you apply that truth, you will read the Bible differently. Because it's all about him. He came here on earth and dwelt as a man just to prove by you and I, by the Holy Spirit, that we would walk in this world and be triumphant because of him. Only by him. Everything, every battle that he battled was to show you and I how to overcome. The God of all the universe could have called down 10 million angels anytime he wanted to not. But he endured it all the way to the end for this very purpose, to train us, to show his highest creation, man, how to do it through him. In our obedience to him, we will not fail because he does not fail. Obedience is truly better than sacrifice. You will sacrifice your will to be obedient. There's no doubt about that. There's too many times when I think about it, some things in your life, whatever it may be, whether you're driving down the road and you're aggravated by the driver beside you, Everybody knows how that feels. You can be obedient to your will, and you can say, I'm going to get on their bumper. They just cut me off. I'll just let you think about that for a second. Or you could say, I'm going to back off. This person obviously has issues driving. I don't want to run over. My wife can tell you that's what I say. I'm not going to get on their bumper. They obviously have issues and a phone in their hand, and I don't need to be anywhere close to them because they obviously have issues driving. You know it's true, and I have a hard time with people carrying a phone when they're driving a vehicle and thinking they can text and talk and everything at the same time. We can come to him in prayer boldly to his throne that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that the word is our weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema word that is right now word to defeat our enemy. Right now. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema word. The word of God is truth. Everything's connected in the armor of God. We'll talk about this later on. But tonight, that word that you need is the weapon you use on your enemy right now. That's why it's the rhema word. It's a right now word that you must get from the Holy Spirit. When you pray, you will receive the word that will take it to the next level. When you want to fight that enemy, you're going to sit there and wonder, what word I need? You'll look through the word of God, and there may be something that pops out to you. That's your rhema word. Use it as the weapon that it is right now. The truth will make you free. Amen? We're connecting it. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, before whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives with evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. These scriptures were not speaking of Jesus on the cross, but it was the daily he said no to his own will. You ever thought about that? That wasn't talking about the cross. That was talking about him saying no every day to his own will. Because of the flesh that he was talking about, he was showing us how to get it done. Every day we have an opportunity to decide, is it going to be my will or his will? It's easy to say, but when you get into the battle and you're trying to deal with those situations that come upon you, whatever it may be, the temptations of life or the anger or the issues or whatever may be going on in your life at that very moment, that tempting time, it's either going to be your will or it's going to be his will. And what Jesus did here on earth was to prove that we could do it through him. And that was the whole purpose. Luke chapter 9, 23 tells us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. We must deny ourselves anything that will open the doors to those things that would take us away from God. And we all know what those things are. Right now, even in your mind, you can think about those things. Those doors that the Holy Spirit warns you, don't go through that door. Don't let that thought stay in your mind. This right here, every one of us will battle in this room. There's one truth, and it's always going to be that the enemy will fire darts at your mind over and over and over and over again. There's no question that's happening. What you do with every one of those darts allowed to be quenched by the Word of God, by the Spirit of the living God, or we can sit there and let it keep going around and around and around. We can make God believe the Israelites go around that mountain one more time. One more time. Let's do it for 40 years. Come on. We can either decide we're going to let His will be done or ours. So whenever we have the temptation, the battle, every time that fiery dart comes, it's going to explode and try to take more damage than it was initially to do. Why? Because it sits and stays in your mind and tends to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then your thoughts about what's going on. Did you see how that person looked at me?
Yeah.
I think there's a problem. Did you see that on my neck when I was looking at it? I think there might be something wrong. That could be cancerous. Huh? bigger and bigger and bigger. Either you fight with the word of God and it be his will, or you allow your will to speak. If you're going to allow God to be the God of your life, you give it all to him. He gave us every opportunity to know what to do to overcome our enemy. So, how do I stay in the Spirit? When Jesus told his 12 disciples it's expedient that I must go, they must have thought, what? Things are going pretty good right now, Jesus. You're going everywhere preaching the word. You're only 33. It's just now getting started. I've been doing it about 30 years. These disciples probably thought, why would it be expedient that you must go? But Jesus knew something they did not know. When Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit was sent, the greatest gift to the church aside from salvation. In Romans 8 and 9, we see the Holy Spirit is with you. Yet, there is something more for the believer to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised in Acts 1 and 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Now, that's going to preach it in itself. But there will be power in your life, power to witness what they did, have power of the Holy Ghost that gave them the opportunity to be able to speak the word of God in authority. Power. How am I going to witness to those at work? How am I going to witness that person at Walmart? How am I going to witness to someone that needs the gospel of the living God? And the days are going darker and darker. The light will shine the brightest by the one that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That oil of the Holy Ghost will be the one that will speak into that heart, whether you have the right words to say or not. You and I must be continually being filled as the two olive trees continually feel this. Each and every day, we must have the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. Such an important thing to keep our hearts right. To keep the Holy Spirit alive and well. So we don't fall or fail the opportunity when God says, speak. You ever want to just, I had this happen years ago. There was a man that worked for me in a Russellville store, sharp as a tack. He had an MBA, he was very sharp. He's the GM for me in that store. And I wanted him to say, that's like, to my mind, I think I told Melissa, I said, he'd be a great Christian. Wouldn't anybody? Doesn't everybody make a good Christian? I've met one. Once you get saved, you're a great person anyway. But the point was, is that he was kind. He was smart. He was sharp. He did a good job. He wanted to do the right thing. But he did not live for Christ. Actually, he was, I don't know, maybe agnostic. He actually gave me a book. It said, Religion for Dummies. He said, you want to read this? I said, I already know. He wanted to know. If I chuckled a little bit, but I thought, but where he was at, the deficit in his life, he wanted to know. He wanted to know what religion to follow, because he knew that there was a void in his life that could not be filled with what he wanted. He bought lots of things. He had lots of toys, big boy toys. But the thing was, he knew there was more. Any and every one of us know there's a void in our heart that only can be filled by Jesus. There's no question. If you've been lost, you know you keep looking for something. That something's Jesus. There is no other. But those in the world keep looking for something. He gave me this book, and I said, I don't need the book, but I'll tell you about Jesus. As frustrating as it was, I start talking about Jesus. Of course, there's a buffering and there's issues and stuff like that. We were actually back in the meat room at the moment. When I got a chance, I said, well, this would be perfect, God. This is perfect. Here's the problem. I thought this is the perfect time. I thought that I would just go ahead and present the gospel to him and then he would just take it because it's so wonderful. Anybody else ever done that? And it falls on your face. Why? The oil of the Spirit was not flowing through me at that particular moment. Why? Because I did not pray that God, that you would give me an opening and a door to what I must say to this man. Because he's intelligent, and we know that a lot of times people that are ultra intelligent have a hard time with religion. It's called reasoning. I'm going to reason it out that God can't possibly be real. But by the Holy Spirit of the living God can penetrate every bit of your reasoning by the moving of the Spirit. And it doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth as long as God puts it there. Hello? It's about Him. And when He wants to say something, you just have to be obedient to say what He wants to say. The beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that it's not a one-time thing. There should be many feelings of the Holy Spirit. This is what God was showing the prophet Zechariah with those olive trees. Paul exhorts Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, be filled is actually in the continuous present tense, meaning be continually filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If I was you, I'd mark that in my Bible. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit is exactly what that scripture means. Each encounter of the Holy Spirit is unique and powerful in its own right. After Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, he received the Holy Spirit as a dove, descending on him in Matthew 3:16. But on the day of Pentecost, the disciples received the Holy Spirit by a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire. Later in Acts, we see the church being persecuted, but they responded by coming together in unified prayer and were filled with the Holy Ghost. Again came someone saying, gathered in unity. Can you say that? Gathered in unity. The church, those who were filled with the Holy Ghost before, when they were being persecuted, went to the church, the synagogue, and prayed until the Holy Ghost fell again. How many times do we have ourselves running here and there trying to figure out what to do? Why? Because we're smart. I'm not the only one raising my hand, am I? I'm so smart, sometimes I try to do it on my own. I know, nobody else wants to raise your hand, but I'm going to go ahead and say I've done that. Okay? Because we like to think we control, especially us men, we like to say that I can do this. We like to say that we're in control. But the problem with that is if you're in control, there's no trust going on. If you don't have to trust God, then where's the love? Where's the love? There's no love without trust. Absolutely not. The Word proves it. There's no love without trust. So if we want to be able to overcome, it must be by His Spirit. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoken the word of God boldly. To be victorious over our enemy, we must be continually filled by the Holy Spirit. Even if you have been before, why not more? Why not more? We don't have to wait for revival to be filled with the Holy Ghost again. Every single day is an opportunity. God wants His people to move in boldly power of God. Him in Himself. During the sweet times of the filling of the Holy Spirit, He will give direction when you don't know where to go. He gives answers to questions you cannot answer. Only by His Spirit we have freedom, Galatians 5:1. Holiness, Galatians 5:6. Truth, Galatians 16:13-15. Fruitfulness, Galatians 5:22-23. Access in prayer, Ephesians 2:18. Assurance, Romans 8:16. Witnessing, Acts 1:8. Joy, Ephesians 5:18-21. Renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2. You can live by His Spirit, overcoming temptation. And if you don't feel like you are living the way, then the question is, I'm asking you tonight, have you checked your order? As I said in the beginning, there's no question what I'm preaching about tonight is the Holy Ghost. So as we stand, if you would please, the whole purpose of this whole service is about an opportunity. For those the first time or those that need to be refilled, I don't know that there's one person that doesn't need to be refilled tonight. May as well. But as quiet as it is here tonight, God can make the difference. If you have problems overcoming temptation, you have problems, things in your life, and you're saved, you got things right with God, but you keep feeling like you fail and you have to repent, fail and have to repent, fail and have to repent, the Holy Spirit is the way. If you feel like you're stuck in your own mind and you can't get out of this trap, and you think, you analyze, you move in that place, and you follow your will but not God's will, the Holy Spirit overcomes your very own thoughts. Only by His Spirit. It'll never be by power or might. The Word tells us. But it's by His Spirit. Everyone in the room, let's pray for just a moment. Bow your heads.